Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents You Ruined Me by Isabel Jordan. Narrated by Chloe Cannon. Chapter 1. Nothing screamed pathetic like buying a gallon of cheap vodka at an IGA on a weekday afternoon in the hopes of getting so trashed you forgot your ex-fiancé was marrying your douchebag cousin. In 2 days. But knowing it was pathetic didn't stop Michael Montgomery from putting the vodka in his cart, or the 4 pints of Ben & Jerry's, or the party-sized bag of Cheetos, or the clearance 12-pack of Reese's Peanut Butter Pumpkins that had clearly been sitting on the shelf since Halloween 3 months ago. At least he wasn't still heartbroken. He could only imagine what kind of fuckery he'd be up to if he was still in love with Sadie. It had taken a while, but he was completely over her. Hell, he was almost happy she was ass over elbow in love with his douchebag cousin Gage. No, it wasn't his wounded heart or pride that had led him to the dark, carb-tastic place he was wallowing in at the moment. What was currently driving him to drink, and probably put himself at risk for diabetes, was the thought of showing up to the wedding and having everyone else looking at him, feeling sorry for him, giving him the, "Aw, poor Michael got dumped for his better-looking and more successful douchebag cousin," head tilt. He hated that head tilt. He'd been getting it ever since Sadie left him at the altar 6 years ago. It had gotten worse when she and Gage announced their engagement last year. It also didn't help that he'd be flying completely solo at this thing. He hadn't had a girlfriend in... shit. Had it been 2 years? Yep. It had been 2 years since Katie dumped him. Turned out she'd been expecting an engagement ring for Christmas, so the Bath & Body Works gift card he'd given her had been about as well received as a raging case of syphilis. He still had a tiny little dent over his right eyebrow from where she'd flung the gift card holder at him. The moral of the story was, never disappoint a marriage-minded dental hygienist who'd pitched for her college softball team. Anything more than casual sex lost its appeal to him after the Katie incident, which was fine, until he needed a wedding date and had absolutely no one he could fathom taking to such a thing. Michael sighed and threw a box of Lucky Charms into his cart. He wandered over to the produce aisle, wondering idly if some kale would help cancel out the damage he was about to do to his body with alcohol and sugar. That's when he saw her. It wasn't her beauty that grabbed his attention, though he'd admit she was definitely cute, in a curvy girl-next-door way. It was the look of absolute, stricken horror on her face as she stared up at the guy who'd just approached her. Michael casually moved in closer and pretended to be scoping out the organic bananas so that he could hear what was going on. He might not be much of a gentleman. Katie would certainly testify to that. But he wasn't going to let some poor woman get harassed in the produce aisle. Not on his watch. The woman gulped and twisted her mouth up into the most painful fake smile Michael had ever seen as she looked up into the guy's face. She shifted the plastic bag of limes she was white-knuckling to her cart and ran a shaky hand over her hair. "Oh, Steve. Hi. It's so good to see you," she said. Oh, it was so not good to see Steve, Michael thought. The look on her face clearly said seeing him was as pleasant as having her insides carved out with a rusty spoon. Steve's smile was far less forced, but there was something about it that made Michael want to punch the guy. He was smarmy, used car salesman-y, and he looked kind of like a breathing Ken doll. Plastic, phony, and overly coiffed. "Dee," Steve said, his voice brimming with syrupy sympathy. "I'm glad I ran into you. You know, I just felt terrible about how everything went down last time we talked. You have to know, I never wanted to hurt you like that." Ah, now it was making sense. Steve and this woman, Dee, had dated, and apparently Steve had been a colossal dick to her when they stopped dating. Shocking. Michael shifted his gaze back to Dee. She looked like she wanted the floor to open up and swallow her whole. Her thick auburn hair was piled on top of her head in a messy bun that looked so precarious, a deep sigh would topple it. There didn't appear to be much makeup on her face, because he could see the light smattering of freckles that dotted her little button nose from where he stood. And her outfit? Well, that could only be described as chaotic. Dee was wearing a white tank top, with Kylo Ren holding out a Valentine's Day card to Rey, and the words, "I've been Solo for too long," printed across her breasts. That was topped off with the slouchiest gray cardigan Michael had ever seen, accented by baggy pink sweatpants with holes in them, and fur-lined boots that came up to her knees. Michael wasn't an expert on women. He'd never, ever claimed to know what they were thinking. But even he knew this was not what a woman wanted to look like when she saw her smarmy, khaki and pressed golf shirt wearing ex-boyfriend. Dee licked her lips and let out a thin laugh. Oh, it's fine, Steve, really. We don't need to talk about all that. She moved in front of her cart, obviously trying to block it from Steve's view. Out of curiosity, Michael took a peek. Tequila, limes, economy bag of chocolate chips, Pop-Tarts, Pringles, and two jumbo boxes of tampons. He winced in sympathy. Dee was not having a good day. Michael could relate, on just about every conceivable level. I need to, though, Steve said, giving her the sympathetic head tilt that Michael knew all too well. The fucker. I want to make sure you realize that Sherry and I, well, we never meant for anything to happen. We just fell in love. I mean, the heart wants what the heart wants, you know? Michael was pretty sure he puked in his mouth a little. Jesus, what a fucking tool. Dee had actually had sex with this guy? Yikes. No, really, Steve. We don't need to talk about it, Dee said dryly. Michael had to swallow a chuckle. She was down, but not out, he realized. There was still plenty of fight in her. He really admired that. But that's when everything went all pear-shaped. A tall, scrawny blonde dressed in a red scrap of fabric that Michael was pretty sure was a handkerchief. Because holy hell, who would make a dress in that size? Sidled up to Steve and snaked her arm through his. Sherry, Michael presumed.
They're all out of condoms, babe,
Sherry said, then ran her eyes over Dee, from the tips of her messy hair down to the toes of her furry boots. Sherry's smile was not kind.
Oh, hi, Dee. I didn't even see you there.
Dee visibly swallowed three times as she looked up at Sherry, then shifted her gaze to where the other woman's arm was touching Steve's. Her eyes, her huge, misty gray eyes, looked suspiciously glassy, like she was in danger of bursting into tears at any second. Yeah, that wasn't going to happen. Without bothering to come up with a plan, Michael abandoned his cart and threw himself right into the fray. This was either going to be totally heroic or a complete train wreck he'd regret for the rest of his life. But hey, you only live once, right? Chapter 2. Delilah Morgenstern was silently contemplating whatever she might have done to piss off karma when the handsome stranger draped his arm over her shoulders and grinned down at her, like she was the best thing he'd seen all night. She was dead, wasn't she? She died of mortification after seeing Steve and the skank he'd cheated on her with at the fucking IGA while she was wearing a Star Wars t-shirt and yesterday's sweatpants. And now, a hot guy was here to take her to heaven. Or hell. Could go either way, she supposed.
She was generally a decent person, but she had stolen that lipstick from Walgreens when she was 10. So if God was really a stickler for that whole thou shalt not steal thing, she imagined Hot Guy was about to take her on the express elevator down to the bad place, which, honestly, would be better than standing here, pretending that seeing Steve and Sherry together wasn't like having a rabid dog rip into her gut and eat her liver.
Did you get everything, hon?
Hot Guy asked her.
Ready to go?
Hun. Hot Guy called her hun. What kind of fucked up fever dream was she having right now?
Yeah, she said. I think I have everything.
Obviously, she'd been rendered stupid by how good his warm, solid arm felt across her shoulders, and by how he looked a little like the love child of Captain America and the Winter Soldier. He smelled good, too, like laundry detergent, antibacterial soap, and sunshine. She probably smelled like the two-day-old Chinese leftovers she'd scarfed before heading out for more depression supplies. But Hot Guy didn't seem to care, as he tugged her a little closer and tucked her protectively against his side. He shifted his warm, whiskey-brown eyes over to Steve and stuck his hand out.
Hi, he said. Michael Montgomery. And you are?
A furrow developed between Steve's perfectly waxed eyebrows as he sized Hot Guy, no, Michael, up. Delilah understood the furrow. Steve had accused her of letting herself go when he broke up with her. And now, here was a stupid Hot Guy at her side, looking down at her like she belonged next to him. Wait, why was he at her side, looking down at her like she belonged next to him? With her luck, this whole thing was going to end with her as the star of an unsolved mystery on Dateline.
Steve Connell, he said, taking Michael's hand. And this is my girlfriend, Sherry.
Sherry's eyes traveled over Michael like he was a piece of tiramisu at a 5-star restaurant.
Charmed, she murmured, touching the tip of her tongue to her upper lip.
Delilah wanted to rip that tongue out and shove it up Sherry's surgically altered nose. Or up Steve's ass.
Yeah, that'd work just as well.
Meanwhile, Michael and Steve seemed to be doing that handshake of death thing men did when they wanted to piss all over their territory. Having a penis must be exhausting, Delilah thought. Given the way Steve flexed his fingers when they finally let go of each other's hand, she'd say Michael won that round.
Huh, Steve asked. And how do you know our little D, Michael?
Delilah winced. At 5'3", she didn't need anyone to remind her she was little. Plus, she hated it when Steve called her D. Like Delilah was just too many syllables to remember? Or like he was just too lazy to use her whole name? Michael glanced down at her again, and one corner of his mouth quirked up.
Oh, we go way back.
A nervous burst of hyena-like laughter spilled out of Delilah's mouth under the force of all that hotness being directed down at her. This was so surreal. This was either the Twilight Zone, or she was tripping from that one time in 9th grade when Ali Sherber convinced her to try shrooms. Her mom, and McGruff the crime dog, told her that night would come back to haunt her when she least expected it. She should have listened. Sherry tipped her head to one side and narrowed her eyes on Michael. Delilah could practically feel the disbelief rolling off her in waves.
So, you're what? Like, just a friend?
Sherry's tone implied, because a sloppy cow like her couldn't possibly be dating a god like you. But she didn't outright say it. Probably because Sherry was currently banging someone who used to bang Delilah on a regular basis. Although, not usually in a mutually satisfying manner. But that was another story, for another time. Michael looked Sherry up and down and his eyes went cold. Sherry probably wasn't used to that.
Delilah enjoyed the hell out of the surprise on the bitch's face when she realized she'd been judged and found lacking.
Oh, there's nothing, just friends, about our relationship,
Michael said, letting his hand fall over her shoulder enough that if she took a deep breath, his fingertips would be on her breast. Holy Dollywood. Her skin suddenly felt three sizes too small, and her nipples were so hard someone could lose an eye if they tripped and fell into her. She looked up at Steve and watched that furrow in his brow deepen. He was obviously doing the mental math on just how long way back was. He was wondering if she'd been cheating on him with Michael, while he was cheating on her with Sherry.
Huh.
Let him stew on that for a while. Served the jackass right. It was especially satisfying that Michael was way hotter than Steve. Steve was good-looking in a corporate accountant, vanilla kind of way. His jawline was a little soft, his skin a little pasty, his body lean but not at all muscly. He could best be described as average. Average height, average build. There was nothing average about Michael. His short hair was on the darkest possible end of the blonde family, and his cheekbones were sharp enough to etch glass. He had a strong jaw, too. Like, strong enough to take one hell of a punch. Not that she'd punch him. She'd never do anything to mess up that face. The point was, he had a really manly, chiseled jaw. And he was tall. The top of Delilah's head only came up to his armpit. Michael was several inches taller than Steve. So he was, what, probably 6'2"? 6'3"? And this god among men had picked her out of the supermarket and made her his good deed of the day? Out of the kindness of his heart? Yeah, no. Her luck didn't run like that. He must have an ulterior motive. And she didn't want anything to do with it. Her life was tragic enough as it was, thank you very much. Time to cut this debacle short. Delilah moved out from under Michael's arm. Damn, it was cold without his body heat at her side, and grabbed his hand, tugging him toward the register while steering her cart with her free hand. Steve, Sherry, it was nice seeing you, but we have to go. Now.
Yeah, sure, Dee.
Steve muttered, sounding as dazed as she felt.
We'll talk again soon,
he promised. Or threatened. It certainly felt more like a threat to Delilah.
Come on, babe,
Sherry said through gritted teeth, tugging on his sleeve. Michael grinned lazily down at Delilah and said in a ridiculously loud stage whisper,
Too bad about the condoms. I guess we'll have to stop somewhere else on the way home.
Someone made a choking sound. It might have been her. Seriously, Karma, what did I ever do to you? Chapter 3. She stayed silent until they got to the register, but Michael could practically hear her thoughts. That's how hard she was concentrating on holding herself together. As they got in line behind a lady who looked to be buying two of every brand of cat food in the place, she let go of his hand and glared up at him. The first thing Michael noticed was that she was even prettier when she was angry. That was really saying something, too, because she was damn pretty, even with the fake smile she'd been giving Steve. And secondly, would it be weird if he grabbed her hand again? She had the softest skin he'd ever felt. She smacked his chest with the back of her hand.
What the hell, man? What was that?
Michael shoved a hand through his hair. Shit. He had taken some liberties that bordered on sexual harassment.
I'm sorry. It just looked like you could use some help back there. And that douchebag just looked so smug.
He shrugged apologetically.
I don't know. I just couldn't stand to see him and dance club skank Barbie treat you like that, I guess.
Her lower lip twitched. Dance club skank Barbie? Another sheepish shrug. if the painted-on spandex fits. She wanted to smile. He could see it. But she held herself back for some reason. Then she asked, "Why do you care?" It wasn't a snarky question. She sounded genuinely curious as to why he'd defend a stranger. He wished he had an answer that didn't make him sound like a pathetic loser. But since he didn't, he said, "Look, I'm having a shitty week. You look like you were having a shitty week, too. I guess I felt, I don't know, some kind of kinship? An us against them thing, you know?" She licked her lips, and Michael wasn't proud of how his eyes involuntarily tracked the motion like a hungry wolf trailing a hapless baby bunny through the woods. It had obviously been way too long since he'd gotten laid. Then she bit down on that lush lower lip of hers and he fought back a groan. She was killing him and had absolutely no idea. "It was kind of the coolest thing anyone has ever done for me," she admitted quietly.
"Yeah?"
"Yeah." Well, that was just sad. Who had she been hanging out with that such a minor thing was considered the coolest thing ever? But also, it made him feel very manly, in a totally Tarzan saves Jane caveman kind of way. Again, not something he was especially proud of. "I'm glad I was able to help," he said gruffly. When Cat Food Lady was finally checked out and ready to leave, Michael loaded her groceries onto the conveyor belt and gave Dee a sharp look when she tried to give the cashier her credit card. He handed his own over before she could object. "Thank you," she said, exasperated. "Again." Michael looked past her to see Steve and Sherry heading toward the registers, still watching them closely. He lifted his chin in their direction.
"They've still got an eye on you. They'll know something's up if we leave in different cars. Should we stall until they're gone?"
She glanced out into the parking lot. "Well, did you have plans for the evening?" He'd planned to get drunk off his ass and binge-watch Cobra Kai on Netflix, but he didn't really see the need to divulge that.
"No, not really."
"There's a diner across the street that makes the best waffles I've ever had. We could walk over there and have breakfast for dinner." She glanced down at her watch. "Or late lunch, I guess. What do you call that? Linner? Dunch?" She was blushing down to the roots of her hair, which he found absolutely adorable. Was she afraid he was going to say no to her? After all this? "I'm buying," she tacked on quickly.
"Yeah, not happening." "I'd love to, Dee."
She let out a deep breath and said, "Okay, that's great. But only Steve calls me Dee, and I hate it. My name's Delilah."
"Oh, hey there."
She held up a hand. "If you say, hey there, Delilah, or ask me what it's like in New York City, I'm going to have to nut punch you. That fucking song ruined every introduction I've had to new people since 2006.
He scoffed. "I wasn't going to say that." Except he'd totally been about to say that.
Who wouldn't?
"It's nice to meet you, Delilah," he said,
realizing just how much better the beautiful name suited her than the shortened version. Then she did something he hadn't seen her do yet. Not for real, anyway. She smiled, wide and bright, and it lit up the room like the sun. Why did he suddenly get the feeling he was in way over his head with this one? They were doing God's work at the Harlan Street Diner. Angels were obviously in the kitchen, making waffles according to God's own personal recipe. That was Delilah's story, and she was sticking to it. She couldn't hold back a moan as she forked up another bite. "That's so good," she mumbled around her mouthful of crispy, sweet, angelically wonderful deliciousness. "Didn't I tell you?" Michael paused with his fork halfway to his mouth as he watched her eat her body weight in carbs.
"Yeah, you told me,"
he said, eyes on her mouth, sounding distracted. He was probably amazed by the sheer amount of food she could put away. She was pretty sure that in another life, she'd been a hobbit. There were just too many similarities for it not to be true. Her lack of height, her love of breakfast, second breakfast, elevensies, lunch, afternoon tea, dinner, and supper. And of course, there were the occasional stray hairs she had to shave off her toes. But she saw no need to mention any of that to the hot guy sitting across from her. Especially not the hairy toes. Ahem. Steve sometimes tried to order her a salad when they went out. She always nixed that, and ordered whatever the hell she wanted. But it still hurt enough that over the last 6 months or so, she'd stopped eating in front of him at all. But Michael didn't look disgusted while he watched her eat, so she decided to ignore it. So, you said at the store that you were having a shitty week. What happened? He was quiet for a second, while he chewed and swallowed his own bite of waffle. His waffle manners were much better than hers, she decided. Just one more thing he looked better than her doing. If he hadn't saved her from epic embarrassment, she'd probably hate him for being so damned perfect. Eventually, he said, I have to go watch my ex-fiance marry my cousin this weekend. She almost sucked syrup directly into her lungs with her gasp of sympathy. Your fiancé dumped you for your cousin? And you have to go to the wedding? What kind of bullshit is that? He raised a brow at her. How do you know she dumped me? Maybe I dumped her. Delilah sucked air through her teeth. Dude, look, no offense intended, but I met you at a supermarket. You had no plans for the evening, and I saw the cart you abandoned. You had ice cream, Cheetos, and vodka, which is almost as bad as what I was buying. She gestured to his chest with her fork. Plus, there's a ketchup stain on your Henley, and you're wearing gray sweatpants. Welcome to Dumpsville, my friend. Population, us. She wouldn't mention that while she looked like a hobo in her depression uniform, he was fuck hot. In a stained Henley and sweats. Bastard. He snorted. Rude, he said without heat. Correct, but rude. She shrugged. I figured we were at the point in our super weird acquaintance where we could be honest with each other. So, why'd she dump you? He set his fork down and pushed his sleeves up. She refused. Absolutely refused. To notice how nice his forearms were. We were too young and stupid to get married, he said. She just realized it before I did. It was the right call. And the cousin? They didn't hook up until 5 years later. I wasn't wronged in any way. He rubbed a hand over his scruffy jaw. Gage and Sadie belong together. I'm happy for them. Well, he was definitely a better person than she was. Because if Steve dumped her for anyone in her family, she'd be studying up on voodoo so that she could make sure he never got his dick up again. Hell, now that her mind had gone there, she might do a little Googling on the subject when she got home. Couldn't hurt to try, right? Why the vodka and Cheetos binge, then? He rested his really nice forearms on the table. And narrowed his eyes on her. You ask a lot of questions. She swallowed her last bite of waffle, which made her idly wonder if there was anything sadder in the world than an empty plate, then set her fork down with a sigh. Already clamming up on me, fake boyfriend? That's gotta be a record for shortest relationship ever. Michael chuckled. I guess I'm not as depressed about seeing her get married as I am about being so far away from that kind of love myself, you know? My luck with romance has been tragic. Delilah shot him skeptical side eye. Sure it has. Whatever you say, pal. He raised a brow at her, which was just another thing that irritated her. She couldn't raise just one eyebrow, and when she tried, it looked like she was having a stroke. Why the skepticism? He asked. She swirled her index finger around to gesture to, well, all of them. I mean, look at you. How bad can it have been for someone like you?
Sample complete. Ready to continue?